Mrs. Jack Mosier, don't you? Praise the Lord. God's blessed them. What a faithful, faithful couple. All 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds. Now's your time to leave the service. All 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds. Now's your time to leave the service. I'd like you to find your place again in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4. While you're finding your place, and remind you of a couple of things. First of all, this family devotional guide is just a small little booklet. And if you've not received one of these and you'd like one, please take one. They're available out in the lobby on your way out. Doesn't cost anything. This is the church's gift to you. So just take this, especially if you have children still in the home. It just emphasizes having family devotions, a family altar, how to do it and different things. Brother Mike Ray wrote this book. I read this. It's a great little booklet. Wanted to make it available to you. Just in case you may know somebody that you'd like to get a copy of this, then take it, all right? Take it and give it to them. We want to help people for the Lord as much as we possibly can. Then I encourage you this week as they're continuing the Bristol Revival, I encourage you, if you can get up there, to get up there. If you can't get there, they are broadcasting it live each evening, 7 o'clock. The church vehicle will not be going, okay? It will not be going. But we encourage you to get together, to carpool, get up there. All of that will be a good thing. Does anybody remember when the Primitive Quartet is going to be there? Is that Friday? Is it Friday? Yes. All of that. The Primitive Quartet will be there Friday. So the good Lord willing, I'll be right in the middle of it Friday, God willing. But anyway, that depends on my schedule, all of that. You understand that. But just pray that the Lord's hand will continue to rest up there. Shows you the power of churches coming together, men of God coming together in unity. And not in competition, but cooperation. And getting people under the sound of the gospel and people being saved. It's what it's all about. There's no doubt about it. So praise the Lord for it. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. You'll notice in verse number 3, verse number 6, verse number 9, and verse number 13. This is part 2 to this message. So if you were not here this morning, I strongly encourage you to go back and get that message. So some of this will make sense to you as I'm kind of hitting fast forward mode. But in those verses, verse 3, verse 6, verse 9, and verse 13, you'll see the same word used. And it's the word better. Solomon says 4 different times, better is this, better is this, better is this, and better is this. And I'm preaching a message that I've entitled, There's Something Better. There's something better. And this morning I gave you one of these thoughts. God willing, I'll give you 3 more tonight. Let's pray together. Father, help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of this will be repeat as far as introduction. As we continue our journey through this Old Testament book, we're reminded how this book is a testimony from Solomon as an old man looking back over his life in which he was focused on life under the sun. Now that phrase under the sun means he's looking at life on earth apart from the Lord. And in chapter 3 we saw a spiritual tug of war taking place in Solomon in which he was swinging back and forth between truth and error, back and forth between faith and fear. Now when you read chapter 4, we read somewhat of the same battle going on in Solomon's life. He makes some statements of error, and yet he makes some statements of great truth. And reading through this chapter, there's a word that's used several times. It's the word better. Solomon says that there are some things better than others. And while I do not agree with everything Solomon said was better, I do agree that when it comes to focusing on this life apart from the Lord, and the emptiness it leads to, there is something better than that. As a matter of fact, throughout this chapter, we see several things in this life that there is something better than those things. And it's my desire through this message that we do not settle for the lesser things in life, but we give our lives to the better things in life. And as we ask the Lord to speak to our heart, there are 4 major things we see. I gave you one of them this morning. By the way, wasn't that a great service this morning? I mean, the Lord's presence was here. Thank God for it. And we're plowing forward in this. The first thing we noticed this morning, and I will not dwell here, but we saw in verses 1 through 5, that hope is better than oppression. I encourage you to go back and get it. Now we pick up our study with major point number 2 on this thought that there's something better. And that is number 2. Let's read verses 6 through 8 and get this second point. Look at it, verse 6. Better is an handful with quietness. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Better is an handful with quietness than both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. Then I returned and I saw vanity under the sun. There is one alone, and there is not a second. Yet he hath neither child nor brother, yet is there no end of all of his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches. Neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity. Yea, it is a sore travail. Point number two tonight is we think there's something better. Here it is, number two. Less with quietness is better than more with travail. Let me say it again. I'm going to explain it. Less with quietness is better than more with travail. He says here that it's better, and I agree with this statement now. He said it's better to have one hand full and be quiet than to have both hands packed full and it's nothing but trouble and travail. And this is a tremendous truth to learn here. The word travail means toil. It means misery. It means worry or sorrow. In other words, get this. There's something better than having more and more. It is to have less and yet be at rest and quiet. That's what the word quietness means. It means at rest, at peace. Another way of putting it would be this way. Balance is better. It's better to have one full and one empty to even it out than to have both full and it's just trouble. I'm asking the Lord to help me to explain what He's saying here because it is such a tremendous truth. The picture here is like one of those clowns on a boardwalk trying to keep the plate spinning. You ever seen somebody like that? The clown will dart like a madman. His insanity is great entertainment for the kids because just as soon as he would start new plates spinning at one end of the line, the crowd of kids would scream and wave toward the wobbling plates about to fall to the other end. And in feigned chaos, the clown desperately tried to keep all the plates spinning and all the crowd laughing. And the biggest laughs happened when he reached the most wobbly plate just in the nick of time. It was all fun, a clown, a slap-happy crowd of kids, a bunch of plastic spinning plates, nothing to lose, and lots of good laughs. But you and I are not a clown. And not all of our plates are plastic. Yes, God has given us some plates to keep spinning, there's no doubt about it. Most of those plates are plastic. If they fall or crack, no big deal. You can find another plastic plate and resume the spinning. No harm done, no big loss. God even gives you permission to laugh along the journey since ultimately all the spinning rests on His grace and power. But a few of your plates are not plastic, they're glass. They're fine, expensive, precious, and irreplaceable. Like rare and exceedingly valuable china. It's your responsibility to keep them spinning, and it's no laughing matter if they come crashing to the ground. They shatter into a million pieces. The brokenness creates a lot of pain and loss. They don't glue back together easily, and they're not ever quite the same, even if you do get them glued back together. Your responsibility then is to create a life of balance that allows the plastic plates to fall if they have to, but never the glass plates. Protect the precious plates at all cost. The valuable plates are your relationships, your marriage, your children, your church family. These are glass plates. The glass plates are those precious and eternally valuable hearts that God gives you to serve and to love. Balance is the art of crafting a life that spins the right plates without spinning out of control. This is a character level of decision-making process that chooses to walk away from the many things that you shouldn't do in order to embrace the few things that you must do. This is the learned art of saying no to good things so that you can say yes to the best things. It's saying no to the plastic plates so you can say yes to the glass plates. Dr. Clarence Sexton put it this way, "You may be better off not to move to a nicer neighborhood, but rather give your children more of your life in the neighborhood you live in now. You may need to consider having a less Excuse me. You right here he says, you may need to consider having a little less money to spend and being able to stay home with your wife and children and get acquainted with them instead of working and never seeing them while trying to provide more things for them. One of these days you're going to look back with regret. I'm quoting. Even if you do the best you can, you're going to have some regrets. But if you're trying to get both hands full, you will have to say that it would have been better to have one hand full with quietness than both hands full with vexation and travail. I hope the Lord is helping you understand this thought. May I say this to you? Life is a rat race. Amen. I'm talking about how you're going to get it done. I'm talking about things that it's like good night from, hey, forget 24 hours going fast. From Sunday to Sunday, where's the weeks go nowadays? I mean, it's extremely, extremely busy. And in this part here, we're looking at this thought, there's something better. There's something better than to try to go through life and both hands are full all the time and yet it's all trouble and grief and misery and pain. God never meant for our life to be like that. It'd be much better to take some things that we're holding up and trying to keep in our hands and say, wait a minute, that's not anything God wants me to have. Put it down and have one hand full and one hand empty and yet be at peace and rest and quietness in your heart and soul. Be content with what you have. You don't need any more than what you have. And learn that what you have is enough if you have one handful. As long as your heart is quiet. There are people today who cannot find rest. They cannot find quietness. They cannot find peace. And one reason is because they're spinning all these plates, trying to keep them all going. And they're putting the plastic plates on the same level as the glass plates. And God wants us to have the spiritual discernment to say, let that plastic plate fall. Because if it crashes, nothing big is done. But let me focus my attention on these glass plates and keep these glass plates going. You understand what I'm preaching to you tonight? Folks, I'm telling you, if you'll get a hold of this, if I'll get a hold of this, it'll take the pressure off of you and realize you don't have to have all them plates spinning. But say, oh God, help me have the discernment to know which plates you gave me to spin and realize that that's enough to fill at least one hand and that's enough, God. I don't need both hands full. I'm satisfied with what you've given me. I'm telling you, what a great thought to learn here. That there's something better than going through life with two hands full and it's chaos. There's something better than that, friends. And the better thing is just be content to have one hand full and say, oh God, help me be balanced. Help me put it in where it needs to be put in. Help me to take it out where it needs to be taken out. And give me wisdom to know that's a plastic plate. Let it fall. Just let it fall. Let's be honest. It's hard to let it fall, isn't it? Amen. I'm talking about the non-essential things. It's hard, just let it fall. I'm telling you, we need God's wisdom in this. There's a better way. And the better way is less with quietness. It's better than more with trouble. Let me give you a third thing. It's found in verses 9 through 12. Here it is again, the same word. Two are better than one. Because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Point number three, two is better than one. You say, what's this mean? In these verses, Solomon says that two are better than one. And he mentions others can help you get up when you fall and also stand against the enemy, help you stand against the enemy. The point here is there's something better than living in isolation. It makes me nervous when somebody isolates themselves. God never means for his child to go through the Christian life all alone. But you show me somebody who gets a little bit of trouble going on or things like that. And they're like, I'm just an isolationist. I like to be by myself. Watch out for somebody like that. Amen. Watch out for somebody like that. Something's wrong somewhere. If you don't want to be with anybody, just go off into an isolation camp. That is not the will of God for your life. It's not. Two is better than one. And he goes on to say that relationships can be nurtured here. And these friendships, reaching out and surrounding yourself with other people, and two is better than one. And there's a threefold cord that's not easily broken. You know as well as I do that somebody that stands alone is more susceptible to the attacks of the winds blowing from the devil than if somebody stands on this side. And if somebody stands on this side, it's going to make it a whole lot harder to break and snap, friends. And that's what God is saying. God is saying if you're all alone, you are susceptible. You will break. But one of the greatest things you can do is find somebody to stand with you. May I say this to you? That's part of the work of the local church, friends. It is great to be part of a local church that when somebody falls, somebody's there to help pick them up. God forgive a church, and may this church never become a church that ever looks at somebody who falls and says, good. They've got what's coming to them. Hogwash, friends. That is not the spirit of Jesus Christ. The spirit of Jesus Christ is this. That's my brother. That's my sister. And they need somebody to come along and pick them up and help them. Don't leave them alone. May I say this to you? If they want to be left alone, sometimes that has to happen. And they're going to learn the hard way. But they ought to have to absolutely, almost spit in our face for us not to offer a helping hand. No doubt about it. This young lady that was sitting in our parking lot, we're trying to get her into church. She was supposed to be here today. Ended up having to babysit somebody, apparently. We're trying to get her here. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad that this church came to the rescue there. We helped put her up throughout this week. Be a blessing. Our others offering helped do that. Showing the love of Christ. Trying to get her into the local church and show her that there's a better way of living. There's a better way. God loves you. And I'm telling you right here, Solomon makes a great statement. He says two's better than one. You know, because of our pace of life, often more closely right here, because our pace of life often more closely resembles a spirit, often closer resembles a sprint rather than a walk. In other words, our pace is not the quietness. It's rush, rush, rush. Because the pace of our life often resembles a sprint rather than a walk. Many times it's our relationships that get left in the dust. And during our seasons of living heavy and loving poorly, this preacher says, frankly, we missed each other. You know, it's better to have others with us in our journey rather than go at it alone. God never intends for His child to go at it alone. He's given us other brothers and sisters in Christ to help us. Jackie Robinson was the first black to play Major League Baseball. Breaking baseball's color barrier many years ago, he faced jeering crowds in every stadium. And while playing one day in his home stadium in Brooklyn, he committed an error. And the fans began to ridicule him. He stood at second base, humiliated, while the fans jeered. But then shortstop Pee Wee Reese walked over to him, stood next to him in that stadium, put his arm around him and just stared at the crowd. And the story goes that their jeering came all the way down to nothing. There are people like Jackie Robinson everywhere. I'm talking about somebody that when they're all alone, the devil unleashes. And all they need is a Pee Wee Reese to go up to them, put their arm around them, and stare the devil right in the face and say, not here, buddy. And help one another along the way. God help somebody who likes to see another brother or sister fall. God help somebody like that? I don't know about you, but when I hear preachers falling and other people falling, my heart doesn't rejoice in that. But I'll tell you what makes me sick, and I'll tell you something else I think it makes God sick, is when nobody reaches out to them. Nobody reaches out to them. Leaves them all alone. May I say this to all of us? We are just human beings, friends. And may I say this to you and me? But for the grace of God, that would be us. Amen. And I'll guarantee you this. God forbid I ever fall. God forbid it. But I know this in my heart. If I ever fail, and I'm not planning on it, God keep me close to your heart, dear Jesus. But if I ever fail, only the Lord would know what a phone call or somebody reaching out to me and saying, listen, I'm praying for you. God can use you. God's a God of forgiveness, second, third, 200, and 500 chances. Two's better than one, friends. It's not made to go at it alone. It's been reported that Howard Hughes, many years ago, but when he was worth approximately $4 billion. Did you hear what I just said? At this time, he was worth approximately $4 billion. Here's what he said. I direct quote, here's what he said. I'd give it all for one good friend. Wow. I'd give it all for one good friend. If there's somebody in this local church who is ever isolated, and they are truly isolated, and nobody reaches out to them, nobody loves on them, nobody cares about them, let me tell you something, friends. God will not be pleased with this local church. This is part of the local church. This is part of the second point, a home for you. I don't care who they are. I don't care how tall they are, how short they are. I don't care what their skin color is. I don't care what their nationality is. It makes no difference if they have tattoos from the, I'm talking about from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, or they are squeaky clean. Everybody ought to find a loving hand at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Everybody. Two's better than one. Having others with us can be a great help in time of need and attack. A great Bible example of this would be Jonathan with David. Remember when Saul was trying to kill David, and Saul's own son, Jonathan, was a great friend to David. In 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 16, it says, and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. I love that. That's a tremendous verse. Here's Jonathan that for all practical purposes, just humanly speaking, he should have been the next king. From the human standpoint, you understand what I'm saying to you? He was the son of the current king. But God so knitted his heart with David that he didn't get jealous of David. He didn't get in competition with David. He didn't get envious of David. And when his own father was going out trying to kill David, Jonathan left his home, went and found David. He had to go searching for him. He went to find him. And the Bible says he strengthened his hand in God. God, give us friends like that. God, help us to be friends like that. Two is better than one. What's the point? The point is, don't isolate yourself. Build and nurture relationships with your family and friends. You can help and strengthen one another in times of need and attack. And when you're together, you're stronger. Obviously, my one hand is not as strong as both hands put together. I'm reminded when I'm carrying some of my children, not Judson, because I couldn't get his feet off the ground anymore, but anyway, and I'm carrying my children in one arm, And they start to become heavy. It's like, good night, my arm's going to fall off. I've learned just to do this. And by just bringing another arm and another hand together, it lessens the load. makes it easier to carry. It's the principle God is telling us. Left alone out here, you're vulnerable. You have strength, but you're not strong enough. So let another hand grab your hand. And another hand grab that hand. And another hand grab that hand. And help each other stand. That's the better way of living. Amen. Let me give you the fourth and final thing here. It's found in verses 13 and 14. Here it is again. There's the word better. Is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. You know what that word admonished means? It means he's not teachable anymore. He's closed his heart, his ears, his mind to everything. He's old, he's foolish, he's not teachable. Verse 14, for out of prison he cometh to reign. Whereas also he that is born in his kingdom becometh poor. According to my study, where it says, for out of prison he cometh to reign. In context, according to my study, the word prison, he's talking about the palace. In other words, saying an old and foolish king, his palace is a prison. It should be a place of tremendous things. But it's just become a place of bondage. And he that's born in his kingdom becometh poor. He's rich in the palace, but he's foolish. He refuses to listen to any more instruction. He's done. He's not teachable. And he comes to the point to where he says this, even those that are born in this house will become poor. So what's the fourth point? It's a direct statement here. It's not direct here, but anyway, it's taken from a statement that's what he says here. He says, better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king. Here's the fourth point. Wisdom is better than foolishness. You know, in these verses, Solomon brings out how a poor and wise child, a kid who's poor but he's wise, is better than an old and a foolish king who will no more be admonished. Kerry Smith put it this way. I like how he put it. He said his takeaway is that it's better to be a weak, poor, wise child than a foolish, unteachable, unrepentant, wealthy king. In other words, wisdom is better than anything else. He would lose it all and be able to go back to being a young man who knew nothing but just wanted wisdom. That's Solomon, remember? God comes to him and says, ask me for anything. He's young. He's poor, if you will, or poorer than he is here. He was childish, yet he asked for the right thing, didn't he? He said, oh God, give me your wisdom. And God answered that prayer. Something started turning his heart away. Now he's reporting. He's giving his testimony back in this book as an old king. He's an old man. He's in the palace, if you will. But yet he's turned from wisdom to foolishness. And he makes the statement that I've learned something. And I agree with this statement. He said, better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king. The point is there's something better than power and position with foolishness. And what is better is the wisdom from God. A poor child with wisdom is better than a rich king with no wisdom. The Word of God says in Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Proverbs 8:11 says, for wisdom is better than rubies. Did you hear what that said? Wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. If there is a pile full of rubies right here, every ruby on planet Earth is right here. God said the wisdom from God is more valuable than all those rubies. He said, it's better than all those rubies. Then he adds to it and says, and not just the rubies, but all things that you can desire. Put everything over here, all the rubies in all the world. Then everything you can imagine. Boy, I'd like to have that. I'd like to have that. I want that. God says everything over here and wisdom over here. This is better than all of that. Amen. And I'm telling you, we need to see this. Proverbs 16:16 says, how much better, there's the same word, is it to get wisdom than gold? Than gold. To get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. May I put it this way? Riches don't make somebody foolish. There are some godly, rich people. But I'm going to say this, there are also some ungodly, foolish, rich people. They got all the money the world can offer. And yet when they open their mouth, excuse me, they're dumb. They have no clue what life is about. They think that life's about shooting a basketball. Amen, friends. I mean, they think life is scoring touchdowns. They think life is able to sing a song or write a song. I'm going to tell you, life has nothing to do with those things. Life is about the Lord Jesus Christ, giving your life to Him. May I say this to you? One of our bus children. Honestly, one of our bus children, these bus kids that come in here on Sunday morning and they'll stand right here to let us know, I trusted Jesus today. They have more wisdom than a lot of adults with all the money in the world. And Solomon says, it is better to be a wise, poor child than to be an old and foolish king. Proverbs 3:13 says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Psalm 111:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. How much fear of God is there today around America? How much fear of God is there in this local church? How much fear of God is there in your home, in my home? Somebody says, am I wise? If you are, it begins with the fear of God. And I'm telling you, we need this. Let's be honest, we know we need wisdom. Amen? I know I do. Let us understand that we lack it. Remember when Dr. Gibbs was here? I lack. Let us understand we lack it. James 1:5 is still in the Word of God. If any of you lack wisdom, I cannot tell you how often I quote this verse when I'm praying and talking to the Lord, and I'll stop right there and say, I qualify, God. If any of you lack wisdom, I'll say, that's me. It says, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. There's something better than foolishness. It's God's wisdom. And let us heed Psalm 90 verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. In this chapter, all day today, we have studied four things just in this chapter. Now, you know if we did a Bible study on better things, good night, throughout the Word of God, how long would this series last, right? We're just tying ourselves down to this chapter. That's it, just this chapter, as we preach through this book. And the four things that Solomon brings out that he says, better is this, better is that, one of them I disagree with, but the final three I agree with. And we learned these four things. Let me mention them again. Hope is better than despair. Quietness with less is better than trouble with more. Two are better than one. And God's wisdom is so much better than this world's foolishness. Now I ask you, when you look at your life, honestly, when you consider your life, let's work down through this. Hope, comfort, despair, oppression, which one are you? When you look at your life, a lot just trying to get more and more, but yet it's trouble, trouble, trouble. Or less, you're satisfied, you're content, and you're at peace. Which one are you? When you look at your life and all alone and nobody cares and nobody understands and nobody knows what I'm going through, or I'm surrounding myself with God's people and it still hurts, it's still hard, but I'm getting strength from my friends. Which one are you? When you think about foolishness, just leaving God out and living for the world and settling for things on earth, or getting on your face and saying, oh God, I need your wisdom. Oh God, would you give me wisdom? I don't know what I'm doing, but would you show me? Would you open my understanding? Which one are you? There's so many people settling for lesser things when God wants his children to be after the better things. And may God help us tonight to say, Lord, get my eyes off the lesser things, put my eyes on the better things, and I'm putting the hammer down. I'm living my life for the better things. I conclude this with the title of the message. There's something better. There's something better. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Shall we, Father? Would you help us? Would you guide us by your Spirit? Would you lead us by your grace? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. When they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. And I wonder tonight, has God used the message this morning or this evening to speak to your heart, encourage you to live for the better things, not settle for the lesser things? Let me work down through the points from tonight. And may the Lord add his blessing. Guide my thoughts. First of all, tonight, we talked about less with quietness is better than more with trouble. Have you be honest and say, Pastor Jody, I'm spending a lot of time spinning plastic plates. And God is telling me tonight that there's some plastic plates I need to let fall so I can focus on the glass plates. In other words, your life is a little out of balance. You're just going through life in turmoil. Just a rat race, but there's no peace, there's no quietness, there's no rest. And the Lord is speaking to you saying, my child, there's something better than this. There's something better. Be honest, if God's speaking to you in that way, would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. God help you. How many tonight say, Pastor Jody, I have a tendency to isolate myself. I'm kind of a loner. It's just the way I am. But God is speaking to me tonight that I need to let people in. Because I realize that by letting them in, it can give me strength. God can use them to help me be a stronger Christian. And would you pray for me that I do not isolate myself? And I'm willing to let somebody stand with me. It doesn't mean anything's wrong in your life. It just means that you realize that you need friends. You need their strength. If God spoke to you that way, would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. God help you. Amen. Have you say, Pastor Jody, God didn't speak to me in that way about myself, but he spoke to me about being a better friend, about trying to find people who need a friend. And if they'll let me, I'll extend my hand out to them and I'll stand with them. God used the message in that way with me. Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. Amen. There's a lot of people who need it. Thank you. Maybe tonight God's speaking to you about just asking for his wisdom. Hey, we all need to do that. But how many tonight say, Pastor Jody, God really is speaking to my heart about how I need the wisdom of God to be the wife that he's called me to be, the husband that he's called me to be, the mom or dad that he's called me to be, the boss that he's called me to be, the employee that God's called me to be. God is telling me, that I need wisdom. I need His wisdom. I've got to have His wisdom. And I realize that to have God's wisdom is so much better than to have this world's foolishness. You say, God's speaking to me like that. I want God's wisdom. I need it. Raise your hand big and high, would you please? Well, we all need that, don't we? No doubt about it. If you're here tonight but you've never trusted Christ, I never want to let a service come and go without giving you the opportunity to trust the Lord. And when Daniel begins to sing in just a moment, I want you to get out of your seat. If you need to be saved, come to me. We'll take a Bible and share the gospel with you, a man with a man, a lady with a lady. But many of you need to get out of your seat when he begins to sing and get on your face, if you will. Even if you cannot get on your knees, just come have a seat on the front pew or make an altar of your own pew and beg God for His wisdom. Some of you need to ask God to help you be a friend to somebody. Some of you need to ask God to help you open your heart to other people. Let them befriend you. So, because God's only trying to help you, trying to give you strength. Or maybe God wants you to get out of your seat and put down some of your plates you've been spinning. And say, oh God, give me the wisdom to know what a plastic plate is and a glass plate is, and help me put the plastic plates down and focus on the glass plates. Help me be balanced. Help me to realize that less is better with quietness than more with trouble. Some of you need to come and leave some plates on the altar tonight, spiritually speaking, and leave this place free and quiet and at rest and peace. However God's using it, You obey the Lord. Father, would you take it and use it, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Daniel's singing. If God is speaking to you, would you get out of your seat right now as he sings? Would you come now, please? Go ahead, Brother Daniel, sing.
I'd rather have Jesus.
I need God's wisdom. I need to let people help me. I need to be a help to other people. I need to let some things go. I need to be more balanced. I need God's wisdom to know the difference.
I'd rather
to the Lord.
Have Jesus.
Let the Lord help you.
Than houses or lands.
Let the Lord help you.
I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to His dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let Him lead than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin. us than anything this world affords today.
She's playing through softly. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. The Lord is interested in the individual. Matter of fact, the group is just a lot of individuals anyway, right? Have a dear man come, been visiting the church tonight. He's saved, he knows that. No doubt. But he wants to be forgiven. In other words, he wants to get his heart right with his Heavenly Father. I'm glad that I can quote to him 1 John 1:9, written to God's people. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hey, Bobby Robertson said this. You know what he said? I'm paraphrasing it. Sounds just like him. He said, it's not our responsibility to keep the light burning. Just our responsibility to keep the bulb clean. I like that. When I ask you a question, is your bulb clean? Maybe you need to come get some things right with God. Maybe God's just really speaking to your heart. I'll tell you what would be great tonight. It would be great for some fathers. Hey, if your father and your children are still in your home, would you look up at me for just a moment? I'm looking at you. Men, we need God's wisdom. We need wisdom. Let's be honest. There are things that we just don't know what to do. God does. I think it'd be a great thing for some men, to grab their family tonight. You say, you're trying to force this? No, I don't try to force anything. I'm just guiding. I'm just leading. I'm just following the Lord here. Some of you men need to grab your families and say, let's go to the altar and let's, as the leader of my home, I want you to hear as I beg God for wisdom. That'd be a great thing. No doubt about it. I'd like my children to join me. My son, my daughter who's in this service, I want you to come up here. Would you come up here now, please? I want to pray with you. What other fathers are going to join me? Get out of your seat from the balcony down below. If God's in this, come on now. Would you do that? You fathers, you men who want to do this. Come on now. Don't ever feel pressure to do this. I'm not trying to press you to do this. God knows my heart. But if you want to do this, I want to open it to you. Let's pray together. Men on our knees begging God for wisdom. If you're by yourself in this service, come on. Let's ask God to help us. Brother Daniel, why don't you sing as we give us some time to pray?
Rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of rarest blue. Sweeter than honey from is all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear.
You can look this way, he's still singing.
I'd rather have Jesus.
This is Ernest Starbucks, if you'll stand there, Ernest, if you don't mind. His dear wife's here. If you want to come up here with him, that'll be fine.
I'd rather
Brother Jack Mosher, standing with him.
To his
he knows the Lord. He's been saved. He knows that. There's no question about it. But he came to get his heart right with God tonight. He came to get clean. I told him it's like taking a bath. Not getting saved again, he's just getting clean where God can use him. You know what I'm glad of? God's been waiting on him. You know what I'm glad of? I'm glad when somebody like this comes and says, I want to be forgiven, God says, I'll forgive you. Isn't that a blessing? That's a blessing. And I'm telling you, praise the Lord, we're so happy for you. We're so glad you're here. God bless you. I'd like you to stay right there so whenever we dismiss, you ought to come, some of you, not all of you, but God prompts you to do this. You ought to come and encourage this couple. We want them to know they're welcome here. We're glad they're here. You glad they're here? Say amen.
Amen.
They've been coming for a while. I'm talking about membership. That's the second family that's talked to me today wanting to become members of our church. We're looking forward to it. From back there up here, God bless you. Thrilling. We're going to get in their homes and talk to them. God's still working, friends. He's not done yet. And I'll guarantee you this, when you leave tonight, there's something better coming, eh, friends? You're looking forward to the better place, right? Amen. It's been good to be in God's house tonight. So thank you for coming. Let's all stand together, please. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Brother Jeff Roten, sir, if you wouldn't mind to lift your voice, please come up here if the Lord leads you to do that. Thank you as you pray tonight.